Welcome to Take the Lead. The content you're about to hear is from one of our Boca Lead events. Boca Lead is a monthly business luncheon hosted at Boca Raton Community Church and taught by Pastor Bill Mitchell. Our desire is that the information you're about to hear will increase your leadership and also raise the bar of ethics and integrity within the business community. So take the handout, grab a pen, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the video.
Good afternoon and welcome during this time, and I'd like to also wish you all a happy Hanukkah. We're in midway through that, and for all of you who celebrate that, it's an incredible season, and the meaning behind it is so meaningful. And those who celebrate Christmas, I wish you that Merry Christmas. And those who don't celebrate either, I do this, and people go, why do you do this? I want you to still have a meaningful season time. If you don't celebrate either, I celebrate Christmas, some of you celebrate Hanukkah, but I want you to have a meaningful time this season because it is more important. And it's a time to break and be with family and friends as well. So I wish you the best of the season as well. Today we're going to talk about impact, having an impact in your business. And if you're here for the first time, we do a little talk on business, but it can apply to home, it can apply to your family, to your nonprofits, to your coaching, whatever it is you do, it can apply to, but we do business. So I want to start out today with an old commercial. Now, some of you weren't even born when this commercial came out, so the ones who are going to laugh are the older ones, I think, but you'll look at this. Let's look at this commercial right now, see if you remember it.
Heinz ketchup. Think how good it's going to taste when it finally gets there.
Anticipation.
It's slow good.
It's keeping me waiting.
Thick, rich-tasting Heinz ketchup. It's slow good.
Does anybody remember this? All right, good. Well, if you don't remember that, the young ones will remember Carly Simon now, who's kind of back and singing again. Here's the point of this. The Heinz ketchup anticipation program that went on for over 10 years, this is 1972, it went into the early 80s, was one of the most successful merchandising marketing campaigns up to that point, and it created Heinz, who was always leading. There was Hunt's, there was Delmonico, there was these other ketchup companies, and Heinz rocketed to number one, and they were the best, biggest in the world because they were supposedly had the most ingredients, and it took a long time to get out, right? And I looked at commercials all through the 70s again. I remember them, and it was just kind of a fun thing to do. But here's the interesting thing is that campaign almost destroyed the company. In the 1980s, their market share started going down. In the 1990s, it did go down. And then they realized the reason was this. Nobody wanted to wait for their ketchup to come out. They all agreed it was the best ketchup, but they didn't want to wait for it. Now, you know, if you hit the 57, it would come faster as opposed to going like this. And they were tired. People like you and me were tired of this. And so Heinz came up with a great idea. You know what it was? Oh, you're good. The squeeze bottle. Now, let me tell you, I sent out one of my staff yesterday to find one of the original bottles. They don't exist anymore. You have to special order them, and they cost three times as much because they're the old way. Anywhere you go, all over South, this is all you can find, is the squeeze bottle. They realized that then you could get it out fast, and everything was fine. And you know what happened when the squeeze bottle came out? Their sales plummeted. They didn't know why. They were stumped. So what they did was they decided to go out and do some marketing among the people. So they sent their teams all over. Heinz is, of course, from Pittsburgh area. They went all over the Allegheny area and different places. And they sent their executives into homes to watch people use their ketchup. And they told the head of house, whether it was a lady or a man, to just tell them they were a family friend. So no one in the families knew why they were there having dinner with him, except this is an old family friend, and he or she has come to visit. And they discovered the same thing over and over again, but nobody realized it until one senior executive did, and that was mom and dad always squeeze the bottles for the kids. Why? Because this is a rocket as well, right? And so mom and dad knew that when Junior or the daughter said, I'd like some ketchup, they would give them ketchup. I'd like some more ketchup. They would give them ketchup. But mom and dad always dispensed it. And what happened was the kids loved the ketchup, but they loved the taste, but they never touched it. And when the kids grew up, they knew nothing of the product of Heinz. They just knew mom and dad gave me ketchup. So what did Heinz do? They got the smaller ones. And they got it so it vacuums, so you can't go like this. It only squeezes so much unless you squeeze it again. So if a kid's smart, he can go like this and get it out. Look at the picture. This is the front of their website today. Today. It is a kid dispensing ketchup and the dad smiling that he can do it on his own. You see, the impact of the ketchup was not the anticipation. The impact of the ketchup was not even the taste, which I happen to think is better than some of the other ketchups personally, because I bought into the anticipation concept, but you also have to touch it. Impact is not just hearing sometimes. It's not just even tasting. It's not always just buying into it. There's other things that have to happen that you impact people. The next generation is impacted because they have touched it as well. And now they are buying, and Heinz is back on the high again and doing well again, in part because they let everyone, mom and dad, even grandma, grandpa, and the kids can all touch it as well as taste it. Impact is important. We can impress people, and they impress people with their ads. They impress, but impression only goes so far. I want to give you five areas that you can impact in your business. And just thoughts around it, walk out with one of them today. You're not going to walk out with all five. I'm going to give you five, give you some thoughts around those five, but just take one. Circle one by the end of the afternoon here in a few moments. Number one, let me start with it. Not everything that counts can be counted. And not everything that can be counted counts. You go, oh, that's a cute play on words. What does that mean? Let me repeat it. Not everything that counts can be counted. Not everything that can be counted counts. Move from just the numbers, and the numbers are important. The product of Heinz is important. If they had a bad product, they wouldn't sell it. Good product, good marketing, good numbers, but move from the numbers only. I want more people. I want more money. I want more sales. I want more staff. I want more square footage for my business. I want more cars for my executive. Well, more numbers to impact. Let me give you a couple examples. How many of you are this morning, this is not a promo, but we're at the chamber breakfast. Okay, some people just go from breakfast now to lunch, and you're going to dinner somewhere else, right? Okay. So there's a great breakfast at Christmas time that the chamber puts on that I go to every Christmas, and it's about the Boca Bowl, it's about the holidays, it's a cool time, and kids are singing, and it's just a festive time, it's a great time. It's at the Boca Hotel every year. We got a couple tables here from the Boca Resort and Club, sorry I called it the Boca Hotel, that goes, it's Boca Resort. Okay, it's pretty impressive. You drive through one of the prettiest entrances in the world. You drive down Camino Real that they take care of. You drive in. There's all these things. There's these great, beautiful things. You go in. It's unbelievable. They park your car. Everything's done. Impressive. The food's unbelievable. Everything's great. Throw it all away for a minute. Can I tell you what impacted me this morning when I went to that breakfast? 500 people there. I walked in, and the Haitian servers are standing at every third table. Now, these Haitian servers, I don't know what they make in terms of money. I walked over to one of them, and they said, "Hello, Pastor Mitchell." I don't wear name tags. I didn't have a name tag on because I was going to speak. I don't wear a name tag when I'm in front of people, so, which doesn't make sense. But, "Hello, Pastor Mitchell." I go to the Boca Resort 3 times a year. We rent it out, do some events, and I speak twice a year, 5 times. They do dozens of events every single day, 365 days a year. And these people said hello to me. Now, I approached them. They know not to approach people. I know there's protocol. I approached them, but they did. And then, I wished them in Creole a Merry Christmas. And then they all got gathered together because I was early, and we had this incredible chat. That was impacting to me. The fact that these people making $15 an hour were doing things to make all of us have a better experience when we were at the Boca Resort. It had nothing to do with the numbers. I mean, the food was incredible. The flowers were wonderful. Everything was great. That's impressive. But it's the impact that comes, and you cannot always put a number to it. Does that make sense? There are things you do that are great to raise your bottom line and to increase your top line and all the things, but understand, what are the things that really impact people? Yes, we have to impress them, and Boca is very impressive, but you need to impact them. Let's keep going. Number two. This is good. You're going to have to think through this one. If you delegate tasks, you create followers. If you delegate authority, you create leaders. Think through that. If you have a team and you're in charge of 4 people or 40 people or 400 people, if you're always telling them what to do, which you probably know how to do it better than they do anyway, you're telling them what to do. What you are doing is creating incredible followers who can do nothing but do what you tell them to do. But if you give them a little authority and you give the rope out a little at a time and let them do it, then you're creating leaders. Next generation people, and it's not just about the younger, but you're creating people that can have an impact on other people. Or it can be all about you. You need to move people toward a greater responsibility. This is huge. And I'll just use Boca Lead as an example. Every one of you come up to me afterwards at some point in time, or I see you at a restaurant, or I see friends at a retail store, whatever. You go, "Bill, thanks for Boca Lead. You do the greatest job, blah, 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 blah." And I go, "It's not me. It has nothing to do with me, except I stand up here and give you a 20-minute talk. I didn't do anything about this lunch today. Nothing. Somebody today said, 'What are you having for lunch at Boca Lead?' I have no idea. Why? Because I have an incredible team back here with John Dadone and his team that creates all this because they've been given the responsibility to do it. I could micromanage them and say, 'I want this and this, and oh, by the way, you overcooked this and undercooked that, and you should do this, little more salt, little less salt, little this.' I'm creating just followers. I'm creating cooks, but I'm not creating people who can put on an event. The ladies that Georgette and Becky and their teams that you interact with, and people go, 'Oh, Bill, can I get a table? And where can I get my table?' I go, 'I don't know. I don't do it.' People go, 'Oh, I want this,' or I go, 'I have a team that does it.' Why? Because I've delegated responsibility to them. And when I started doing it without the delegation, we had 50 people in the room. There were 50 of us. We fit right here. Some of you in this room were here. We were right here, and I was doing it. I invited everybody. I told John what to make. I told Becky and Georgette how to run it, and we had 50 people here. I released it out and let them have some impact in this thing, and this is what's here. And I think they do a good job, personally. But it's not about Boca Lead. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about that if we want to make something better and have a bigger impact, a better impact, you've got to empower your people with responsibility. Give, and this is hard. This is not easy to do because we're control freaks. We love the control. I'll talk about that in a minute, but just do it. Let me give you number three. Number three is this. Johnny alluded to it a little. Success is not measured in what you have or how much you have, but in what you give. Now, this is like going counter-cultural a little here. You need to move to become others-focused. If you want to have an impact, you got to stop making it about yourself. That's, you know, I want an impact. I want you to impact me. It's about me. If I want to impact you, I've got to be others-focused. Let me give you an example about this. Okay, I'll give you a secret. Years ago, when I always, well, let me stop. I have always wanted to build a wing of a hospital. I have always wanted to build a wing of a hospital. I don't have that kind of resources. Every time I walk to the Boca Hospital, I see the Sandler this, and I see the Marcus that, and I see the Lynn this, and the Schmidt that. I go, I'd like to do that. I'd like to build the cancer wing or the neuroscience wing. I don't have those resources. I can't do it. So about 12 years ago, I was in Ukraine with my wife and some others, and we were near Chernobyl, where, you know what happened there a generation ago. There's an incredible reality that the children and grandchildren, and now even the great-grandchildren, are having cancer at ages of 5, 6, and 7 that should be occurring at ages 70, 80, and 90. Nobody talks about this. We've seen it. I look at a 5-year-old and go, they've got the cancer that someone who smoked for 50 years should have had and someone who drank themselves to death for 50 years. No, they get them. And we found this old hospital, and we built a cancer ward in this hospital. I came back, and it didn't cost a bazillion dollars. It was the most unbelievable thing. I said, it's not about me. It's just like, I finally got to do it. It took money. It wasn't my money. We put a little of the money, but but it didn't cost the billions and millions. It was a normal amount of money. We collected it. Our church did it. We got some other people, and we built this wing for these kids. There's a second hospital in Kharkov, Ukraine, where this is. That is where the orphans are taken. Orphans. They're healthy. They're orphans. And in Ukraine, to adopt a child, it takes years. I don't know why. It's a pain in the neck. If you, those of you who are adoptive parents know this, there are certain countries that are harder than other countries to adopt in. Some you can get them before birth and go through the process. You got them on day 2. Others, it takes years. So in this hospital, it's where the kids stay before they get adopted. Now, if you're not familiar, it's very important for a child to be held. It has the whole thing to do with attachment disorders. There's a whole thing called RAD, reactive attachment disorder, that happens when kids are 15 and 16 because they weren't loved at 1 and 2. Nobody knew that until recently. And so we were there also. My wife and the same team that put together all this money to build this cancer ward said, all we need are some grandmothers who would come in and hold a baby and feed them the bottle and show them some love. You know how much that cost? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the hospital one, which costs a lot of money, a lot of great things are happening. Hospital two costs nothing. It was the mobilization of retired pensioners in Ukraine who wanted to share some love, whose kids were long gone, who could do it. It's just mobilization of others. You know, it was unbelievable. When you become others focused, it's not about the money. The currencies of generosity are far greater than dollars and cents. There is an incredible set of currencies that you can use. And you go, I don't have the Schmidt, Lynn, money and the Marcuses and et cetera. I don't have that kind of money, DeHornley, and I don't either. but you can still have generosity and use the other currencies that you have. And you've just got to be mobilized and understand, because when you do, the impact is unbelievable. And you've got to figure it out. And there's a lot of great nonprofits sitting right here that can help you figure it out. If you go, what do I do? Just go and look at some of these. They're here. So success is not measured in what you have, but I think it's measured in what you give. Nobody cares what's in my bank account, but those kids care about what we did for them and are doing for them. Number four. This is the toughest one. Okay, so this is the bad one. So I'm just going to tell you right now. Develop, if you want to have an impact in your company, develop a loose, tight culture. What does that mean? It's like an oxymoron, small, big. Loose, tight culture. I will explain it. Businesses that live by a loose, tight culture, on one hand, rigidly are controlled, but yet on the other hand, at the same time, they allow but even insist on entrepreneurship, innovation, and creativity. In other words, you can't do it, but you can do it. Now, years ago, I had my son work for me when he was an intern. A bunch of my son's friends worked for us, you know. They were kind of in the loose side of this. And it was funny because they would do things. Not the son who's here, it's the son who's not here, so don't look at that one. They would do things, and here's what they would say. Here's the thing. It's easier to get permission than forgiven. That's the loose person talking to the tight person. Because the tight person's going to forgive them, well, at least once, maybe twice. But here it is. Go to the next slide. There is a balance that needs to happen, and you need to figure it out, because... And this is where we struggle as a church. Churches are basically volunteer organizations, right? I mean, we're ultimately a volunteer organization. And so you go, hey, I just want to help. Loose, 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 loose. But you got to have some guidelines. Tight, 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 tight. And what is the balance that you have? So in a company, you have processes, systems, realities, but you also want to garner creativity. Entrepreneurship, even into the large companies, you want some of that to happen. Because if you don't, you're kind of stuck in just whatever that tight lane is. And if you want to have an impact, you got to move out. And this is tough. Go back to the previous slide for a moment. If you can figure this out, you will do things that your competitors will never do. If you can mobilize your people to the fullest, the loose people that need some reins around them, the tight people that need to loosen up a little and show some creativity in what they do, and you as a leader, if you can figure that out in your industry, in your company, in your setting, you will fly by everybody else. Because most of us get caught up in tightening loose people that can't be tightened too much and loosening on tight people that can't be, and we're just, it's incredible and it's disastrous. It's another way of Jim Collins is get the right people on the bus, but get them in the right seat. And I would say also giving them a motivation, because they're the ones that can impact. Let me tell you, if I went up, John Tolbert, who's the head of the Boca Resort, of course he came up to me and talked to me. That's his job. George Petrozelli, who runs the whole system over there in terms of that all of you have worked with, of course he came over and talked to me. We're friends. That's his job. But the loose, I know those people were never told that they should interact with me beyond a good hello and a smile. But they loosened up a little, and they did. And because of that, I was incredibly impacted. And can I tell you something? Now, I have a bigger voice than most, but I just impacted the Boca Resort to 450 people that could go use the Boca Resort. So it was a $15 employee that gave them an advertisement to 450 very capable people. You see that? So we think marketing costs money. No, marketing impact doesn't. Some does, but understand that if you catch this loose, tight thing, and I got to be honest, I haven't totally caught it in church world. I come out of the business world. I understand it. I'm in church world now with all these volunteers and everything, and I just kind of, I'm getting it. So I look in a mirror when I talk to you. I'm not telling you I've done it all right. And we're working as a staff. We got 30 staff and 300 volunteers in this church. I'm trying to figure all this loose, tight thing together. And we don't get it right all the time. But you want entrepreneurship. You want innovation. You want creativity. Let me give you the last one. And this is huge. Number 5. You need to understand what your secret sauce is. You. What is your secret sauce or your company, if you're responsible for your company, that differentiates you and your business or your skills or whatever your area is, your nonprofit for some of you in here, your school, so we have some educators in here, your doctor's office, we have some doctors in here and professionals, your architectural firms, etc., from all the others. You put your word here, business. Because each one of us has a secret sauce. I'm just telling you, you do. It's unbelievable. And when you do, find it, build on it, exploit it, use it. Because when you do, you will be different. If I go through and look at different restaurants, or you go through and look at different professions, how do you pick the one over the other? You got to look at what differentiates the one over the other, and when you do, you will create something that's special. I come out of real estate. See all my real estate friends over here? I come out of real estate. How many real estate people are there in this town of ours? Every other person's a realtor in this town, right? And the ones who aren't are lawyers. I'm fortunate I got a realtor in my family and a lawyer in my family, so I don't have to worry, but how would I find that realtor? How do I find that attorney? Because it's something that you do that differentiates you. And I believe a good start is this, that you're ethical, you have integrity, and you have character. If you just start with that, half of your competition is wiped away. And for some of your industries, more than half of the competition is wiped away. Pool contractors or whatever. I'm sorry, you know, whenever I say that, somebody who's a pool contractor comes up and says, I'm ethical. And I go, differentiate yourself because everybody will want to use you. That is the whole point here. It's an amazing thing. Our time's up. It's Christmas and Hanukkah time. It's Thanksgiving time. It's a time for us to just step back and reflect. And I want you to reflect on your impact. Or some of you may say, I don't have impact. I want to have impact. I want to close with a quote from Mother Teresa. About a generation ago, little Albanian lady who moved to Calcutta, India, and changed the world for those people. And she talked about impact. This is a statement of impact, she said. Let me read it. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and certainly some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. I think at this point in time, this time of year, a time of reflection, we're always so worried about if I do something good, if I do something meaningful, if I do something impactful, it's just going to drop. I need to just keep doing the numbers. At least for 6 weeks a year, and maybe all 52 weeks, think of how you can make an impact in other people's lives. Because I think personally, it is a very profitable thing as well. Your business will succeed. You're good people. You know what to do. We can run our businesses, but let's run them with impact. Can we do that? Good. Have a great season.
We trust you enjoy Pastor Bill's teaching. Our goal is that you take this content and apply it in your business and also your personal life. Visit VocalLead.com for all of our past material and register for our next business lunch. Have a great time and discussion, and take the lead.